I know why you're working in the region where she went missing. You're still looking, aren't you?
Come on!
You killed that guy!
Because he was going to kill me, you saved my life. This is about survival. Do you understand?
Samuels, listen to me. It's not safe here. Siegson's got this place locked tight. Their goddamn androids are killing people.
That's impossible. It's contrary to primary synthetic programming.
I've seen it, Samuels. I guess Siegson's got a different idea about synthetics.
Listen to me. We don't have to do this.
Stop. Stop it, Marlo.
Marlo, please.
You heard what your mother did. She understood. If she was here, she'd be helping me.
Don't worry. Don't worry about me. I'm sure I'll see you very soon. I love you, sweetheart.
Welcome to Perfect Organism, the Alien Saga podcast. I am your host, Jamie Prater, and I'm joined by my co-hosts,
Patrick Green,
Christian Motzko,
and Perry Chicos,
in Xander House in our chat room. Welcome, everyone.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
excited to be here. This is the beginning of a new series that is the most requested one I have ever personally been a part of on this show, which is saying something because I've been on the show since 2017. We are officially tonight launching our Alien Isolation 10-year anniversary series. We're going to get to what's coming up a little bit, and we're going to talk more about what we're going to cover tonight. But before we do, we have some patrons to shout out. I'm going to be totally honest and put my cards on the table, and just I don't remember how far back I go when I read patron names. So sometimes you get shout outs two, maybe three times, and I don't regret that at all. You deserve it. Have as many shout outs as it takes. My sloppiness is your gain. So let's go back a little bit here. We got Ryan Weathers, Gregory Stemfel, Spencer LaSalle, Matt H., and just a few days ago, March 2nd, Joshua Holko joining our Patreon. If you would like to join them, just go to patreon.com/perfectorganism or go to perfectorganism.com/support. We have lots of new stuff coming out, including just in a few days, actually, our Weirding Way episode on our reactions to Dune Part 2. Some of you may remember we did a whole series of episodes when Dune Part 1 came out. And we have some really cool things to share about Dune Part 2. So, you know, without further ado, let's get into the conversation tonight. I'll kind of kick us off here a little bit. So we've been asked a lot over the years about Alien Isolation. It has been perhaps the biggest elephant in our collective podcast room. I think that's because it looms so large over fandom as such a beacon of what alien storytelling can do in the modern era. It's such a huge success story in terms of critical acclaim, while being in some ways the opposite story in terms of financial gains, and such a fascinating case study in how Alien functions in the modern world. And I think because of that, we've been a little bit intimidated about covering it. But this is 2024. It's been 10 years now since this game released. And so we're going to be dedicating over the next months quite a few episodes to this. The content is still somewhat being hammered out pending some things, but some of the things you might be able to expect coming down the pipeline would be conversations with some video game industry experts on how to tell stories a la Alien Isolation in unexpected ways. We might be talking about, you know, some iconic elements of it, like, for example, the Working Joes, some really cool, you know, semi-conspiracy theories about things that may or may not be in the game. We're going to talk a little bit about Creative Assembly and how they managed to pull off the impossible. We have some really cool guests coming on. And we're also going to be talking quite a bit about the legacy of this landmark achievement in video game history, in horror game history, and in alien history. But tonight, we are celebrating officially 10 years of Isolation with our roundtable intro episode talking about, you know, how this impacted our lives when it came out and what it was like in the months leading up to its release. And also, now that we've had it for 10 years, what it's been ever since. So I'm really excited to talk tonight.
I would agree, Patrick. I am very excited as well to chat about Alien Isolation. I think it's great. You know, I didn't like grow up with a video game console, and like being such a Alien fan, just in general, and like growing up watching the movies as a kid and things like that, I unfortunately like just wasn't in the know as much about games like this when this first came out. Once I became an adult and could purchase my own video game console, which I did, I went the Xbox route. I've had one of those for a long time, but like playing Isolation for the first time, it was such an experience for me, like living in that. And that's what I love about video games is like you really get to like, aside from like films, right? There are definitely movies that you get transported to another place when you're watching them, and like you really feel like you're one with the characters and everything like that, when soundtrack and the editing and the momentum of those things goes together, right? I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but Isolation in itself, like giving you somewhat of a genuine storyline, the environment that you're in, the just like the impending fucking scary like dread, like what am I doing on this ship? What happened to Sevastopol? Where is everybody? And excuse me, and like there's this thing chasing me, which is the alien, and you're just like scared to death. Like I know we've talked about the med bay scene specifically so many times. Oh my god, that chapter of the game, and just like playing through that entire piece of it, right? And for the first time for me, took a very long time because I was just like scared to death that entire chapter. That was very much like for me what Isolation was in the beginning. And then as I played it over and over again, I've really, really got to like cherish so much more of the lore of the game and like just through you guys providing me with information. Christian, I know specifically too, like you, just the knowledge that you have around everything and like the props that you make and things like that, that like tie into this game. And it's just like, it's awesome, man. Like it just adds so many layers to the lore of Alien. I was just enthralled by playing this game. It was just so beautiful.
So I want to jump on a couple things that Perry said. One, I love that you brought this up. There is a gap in my video game history between the early 90s when I had an 8-bit classic Nintendo and I would play, remember Battletoads? Battletoads was a game that I'd play.
I love Battletoads. Hell yes.
Oh my God.
And you know, Duck Hunt. There wasn't a lot going on, right? And I left that behind when I went to college and I didn't play video games again. So it was only when Gearbox was putting out Aliens Colonial Marines and I was going to be an NPC in this game. They used my Colonial Marine armor as one of the people in the film, as one of the characters in the game, one of the NPCs that you run into. So I had to get a game system. And so I got an Xbox like Perry did, Xbox 360. And then that game was such utter shit that I didn't really play it much. And then the following year, out comes this new Alien game. And we'll get to some of my misconceptions about the game. And it's funny because I feel like my experience going into Alien Isolation must have been what a lot of people went through, because Aliens Colonial Marines was such a bullshit game and was so poorly sold. They lied, honestly, that I was so convinced that Alien Isolation also was going to be a ripoff. And anyway, but I did get the game. I bought it and I played it. And I remember, you know, you get on board the Sevastopol and there's no one around and I'm moving the character and my kids are asleep upstairs. My wife's asleep upstairs. And there comes a moment when the game controller vibrated and I don't know video games. And so I thought that they were replicating my own fear. And I'm like, this is amazing. It's shaking because she's shaking because she's scared. No, the station was shaking. I didn't know that. Anyway, and I ended up kind of going and leaning against the wall for a while. So it was a long time before I actually saw the alien. Anyway, And then Perry, you mentioned props. I cannot imagine another video game having this kind of impact, but it's true. There are characters or institutions or concepts in this game that have now gone out into the larger expanded universe. The Colonial Marshals, for example, I can't imagine the Alien universe not having them, to the point where Graham Langridge, when he made the Blueprints book, all the blueprints for the ships and the colony and whatnot of the Alien films, if you look, he put a Colonial Marshal office on Hadley's Hope. He marks a door and says, this is the Colonial Marshal's office, because it just fucking makes sense. It's like a puzzle piece that we didn't know was missing. And when it's slotted in there, it's like, oh, okay. This just expanded and beautifully embellished this universe. And so, yeah, I've made a number of props that are from a game, not even from a movie. And they sit next to the movie props and they just look like they're all part of the same universe. And I love it.
Not to mention you're wearing a Sevastopol hat right this very moment.
I'm looking at my hat options and like, yeah, we're going to go for Sevastopol today.
I'm wearing Sevastopol boxers. I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, my relationship with this game is very different than everyone's because I don't play games. Not those kind of games. I'm not a gamer. And I have watched quite a bit of Isolation. I played a little bit of it. I was walking on the Nostromo a couple days ago at my friend Dan's house. I'm just kind of getting used to like the controllers. It's never a game I'm going to play. It's just, I'm not wired for this kind of thing. But I do remember the watershed moment that it was when it released for fandom. I do remember the reaction to it, that people were reacting to it the way I wished people would have reacted to it. The way I wished people would have reacted to a good movie that would have came out, but a good Alien film hasn't come out in a long time. But there is something so beautifully immersive about this game that, and I've seen a lot of video games. I don't, obviously, again, I'm not a gamer, but my nephew's game and I see them and, you know, whether it's Jedi Fallen Order or you name it, they play it and I've seen it all. But Isolation is so immersive, and maybe that's just the nature of games in general, is they are immersive. Like that's what you do. You're in this world. But to have the dread, to have the continuation of Ripley's story in some way, to host Amanda, to kind of link it up to the original storyline or the main storyline, I should say, I thought was really brilliant. And it was something that I continue to appreciate. And again, because I don't play this game, when I'm able to watch people play or to watch gameplays on YouTube or whatever, it's like discovering Alien all over again. It's really something special and something really amazing. But with that said, I'm going to read what Xander has to say. And he says, I remember first finding out about Isolation. I was hesitant at first because I wasn't a fan of horror games. Hearing that Amanda was the main character made me roll my eyes. Boy, was I wrong. The trailer got me instantly hyped. I pre-ordered it that day. The bad taste from Colonial Marines was washed away. Every element of Isolation is perfect. I remember being on the edge of my seat every second. Amanda is her own badass character, badass in a different way than her mother. Every single thing is such a love note to Alien and teleports you to the universe. Right on, Xander.
I get to lay all my nerd cards on the table tonight and say that I never stopped playing video games. In fact, I've played every console generation since I was 5 years old, playing the original Nintendo Entertainment System in my grandma's basement. So I'm here to give you a little bit of a historical nerd perspective on this game and the context that it came out in. Because in addition to being a lifelong gaming nerd, of course, I've been a lifelong Alien nerd. And that means that I have played pretty religiously, sometimes literally, in the case of Isolation, you know, every single Alien game that has come out since I've been a child, and some that predated it, actually, including the Atari 2600 game that's sitting right over there. Anyway, so this came out, of course, as Xander and others have mentioned, right in the wake of Colonial Marines. However, at the same time in the video game industry, there was a ton of buzz about these two things because they were in development simultaneously. I was really excited about both of these games. But I want to go back to a moment to 2011. That was the first time that we had any knowledge that Sega was working on a game based on Alien, not Aliens, which is very rare in video games because Alien is much, you know, more poorly set up for most game scenarios, and that it was going to be survival horror. And then what was confirmed by the studio was that it was going to be in the vein of Dead Space 2. I was so fucking excited by that news that I could not think about anything else. A first-person survival horror game set in the Alien universe, modeled in some ways on Dead Space 2 in terms of being a AAA horror sci-fi title. I mean, that's got like every buzzword that you could possibly want. So then like 3 years go by. And what I remember so specifically is 2014 comes around. There's E3, the Electronics Expo, which is like the biggest event in gaming every year. In 2014, it was, I believe, in June that year. I think it normally is in June. Anyway, and that was the first time that people got to play a demo version of it. And the reactions from E3 were unanimously like, this is the scariest game that anybody has ever made before. And that was all we knew about it. It was just that this thing was so scary that journalists who were playing a demo of it at E3, I believe using an Oculus headset also, said that it was almost unplayably scary. And I was like, so excited, because of course in June of 2014, we're only months out. This thing came out in October of 2014, so like this was about to land, you know, on my literal doorstep because I had it pre-ordered. And I just remember I was so thrilled, especially because Colonial Marines was such a letdown, as many of us are saying. And I was like, this is going to be the one that will be the defining Alien game experience of my entire life. And it has been ever since. It took me probably 2 years to finish it, because the first time I played it, I was so fucking terrified that I put the controller down. I've never in my entire life. I mean, I am a horror game junkie to the point where, like, when I was in fucking middle school, I ran fan forums on Silent Hill. Like, I am a lifelong horror nerd, and I couldn't play Alien Isolation. I was too scared. And it took me 2 years, and I finally did. And I was just, there were tears streaming down my face the first time I beat the game, because what you realize when you play Alien Isolation is once you fight through the fear that is so present, there's an enormous amount of love and craftsmanship that goes into the story. And that's the thing that gets lost, I think, a lot of the time when people talk about Alien Isolation. It's so easy to talk about how scary it is, and it's so easy to talk about how beautiful it is, because it is a beautiful game. And we're going to talk a lot about that in this series, how they put so much effort into modeling CRT emulators for things, how they put, you know, every single prop that's on display in any of the rooms at any given time is a little work of art in itself. You know, everywhere you look, there's something amazing to behold, let alone when you look out the windows of Sevastopol, or when you do a fucking spacewalk and there's debris flying past your head. It is a game rife with beauty. And yet it's a game that is buttressed by the story that continues to draw me back time and time again, which is why I keep going back and keep replaying it and beating it, to the point now where it's basically maybe even more than an annual thing. It's like a game that I'm kind of always in a playthrough of. And I know many people, I know many listeners, because I'm friends with you on, you know, PlayStation and things. I see you playing this fucking game all the time too. I'm not the only weirdo, and Perry's not the only weirdo out there. It's a game that we are still all playing so much. So something I really hope we can kind of get out of this series that we're doing is figuring out some of the reasons why, like some of the reasons why it's a game that continues to play so well. One other thing I want to point out is that it's been 10 years. It's been two console generations. You know, I'm playing it on a PlayStation 5 at this point, and it still looks like a brand new game to me. And that is crazy. And I say that as somebody who plays Dead Space 2 still, which is the game that, you know, was the high watermark this was held up to. Dead Space 2 looks like a game from 12 years ago. Alien Isolation looks like it came out a week ago. It is an amazing technical achievement. Last thing I'll say before I hand the mic over is that in terms of technical achievements, it's also still the high watermark for artificial intelligence in a video game. That is something that is an impossible thing to overstate how amazing that is. That a game that was built 13 or 14 years ago, released 10 years ago, set the high watermark for how you can have a genuine AI opponent in a horror game. Nothing else has touched it since. And I don't know why. I really, truly don't. But I think the reason why it was so scary the first time I played it, and why it continues to be, is because you're aware that the alien is an intelligent thing that is learning from what you're doing, and it's getting closer to you. And there's very little you can do about it, because you're going to make a mistake. You're going to walk under that fucking vent in the ceiling that you didn't notice had drool coming out of it, and you're going to get killed, and it's going to be so scary. That is great video game design, and that is why we keep coming back time and time again.
I'd just like to say, to your point, Christian or Patrick about most video games covering aliens, like, of course, Aliens, Dark Descent, Aliens, Fireteam Elite, Aliens, Colonial Marines. And to see a game of the caliber of Alien Isolation cover not just in name Alien Isolation, but in tone, in weaponry, in that cassette futurism, all of the things that we love about Alien, to see them bring them back, it's so right. And as we've discussed many times, when we talk about aliens or Alien or whatever, like, I love Aliens. I think it's a masterpiece, as, you know, everybody else does. But I do think, like, I grow tired of it because it's the film that is people kind of walk around nonstop. I mean, like, there are two other films. Really, there's more than two other films. There's like four other films, five if you include Resurrection, that you can talk about. And so to have this game be what it is and to ensconce itself around Alien, it's just this, like Xander had said, is this love letter back to what Giger did, to what Ridley Scott did, to what Dan O'Bannon did. And I'm glad that it stood the test of time, and I'm glad that it's still, despite these other games coming out, it's still the shining city on the hill that people look up to. Isolation as, this is the model, this is what you want. And the fact that that game is around Alien, can't get better than that.
Stay still.
Okay.
Now turn around. Come on!
I'm Ripley.
Where'd you come from? Ripley!
Off station. A ship.
There's no ships here!
There are now.
Well, that's good news, because things are not so good here.
I think it's worth pointing out, you know, Jamie, who's not our, he's our guy that doesn't play games, just bought the art book, the Art of Alien Isolation. And I would recommend everyone, even if you don't intend to play this game, buy this book, because it is taking all of the hard work that went into making the look of Alien and beautifully expanding it, saying, okay, well, if this is what their uniforms look like, how else could we draw upon that? How else could we expand this architecture? Are these sort of like cookie cutter pieces that can be put together into spaceships, but also space stations? And just to see all the beautiful iterations of things they didn't end up using that feel so right. Ah, yes, that's a fantastic book. I have to say something funny. So I was really heavily into the Aliens Legacy Forum. It's a Colonial Marine costuming group, right? And that'll come up in a minute when I talk about my misunderstanding of what this game is going to be. But anyway, I'm playing the game for the first time, and I take a wrong step and she falls like down through the floor, and I'm on a different level. And so I stop, I pause the game, and I'm writing on the forum like, shit, I just fell through the floor. How do I get back up there? And like, Christian, it's a cutscene. That's you have no choice. You're going to fall through the floor. You're going to end up in the other part. I thought I'd screwed the pooch and I was going to start the whole game over. I just didn't understand, man. At the same time, it was wonderful. I was aware of Dead Space. Oddly, a friend of mine had lent me an art book for, I think, either Dead Space 2 or the whole trilogy or something. I don't know. And it was gorgeous. But I hadn't played these games. And so what a beautiful game to be reintroduced to the concept of video games, horror video games, survival horror, all these things. And yeah, that's the thing. If you look at Alien, a smart person says, okay, we've done the pulse rifles, we've done the Colonial Marines many, many times. Because this is, Aliens Colonial Marines had just come out, but there had already been a series of Alien versus Predator games that involved some variation of the Colonial Marines. So we'd really had that. Even, God, Alien 3, The Gun, the most ridiculous video game ever, because there are no guns really in that film. We've done the guns. So to have someone say, okay, what made Alien work and how can we put that in a video game? And talk about, you know, what a great group of people Creative Assembly had in that moment working together to make this game happen. And there must have been such pressure from them, on them, from other people saying, put some guns in there, put some, you know, let there be some just things that you can shoot or, you know, whatever. And they, for them to be able to say, no, we're not going to do that. That's already been done. And again, in the art book, you can see there definitely had been some iterations where there was going to be more of that sort of thing. And they really pulled back from it. And it's to their credit that they did that.
There are a few things I want to touch on, but I do have to state for the record that I did grow up playing computer, like game, video games on my PC. I actually grew up playing Half-Life, which I freaking loved. And I am hoping a lot of people listening also know that game. I'm just hoping to God that they, I don't know, we get some sort of like Dead Space remake of that game, because I feel like a lot of video games nowadays, are inspired by what Half-Life gave us. It was very like back in the 90s, like late 90s, like survivalist horror sci-fi video game with a great storyline, great character, and a very similar, like the first weapon you have, you're walking around this Lambda facility after shit hits the fan and you just have a crowbar and you're like fending off whatever it is with this crowbar until later on in the game. But it's kind of the same. You're like, where is everybody? What happened? Things like that. And that game is what really kind of like burned an identity in my psyche as far as like loving video games. And that's where I kind of, that's where my journey sort of started. And I just wanted to touch on that because I do owe my video game experience to that game. And just because it's so great. I know they did a Half-Life 2, several years later, that was really great as well. But, and I just don't know why they won't do something else, but anyway, or remake the first one. But, a few things, and I know it's funny that we keep kind of like, unconsciously saying like, oh, I really like that scene and things like that, because this game is so cinematic in certain moments. But it also just adds so much to the story of Alien, that it's almost like a movie, even though you're playing it. Like I talk about like that immersive experience. And as you guys have mentioned too, like, it's just, you really feel like you're Amanda. And Patrick, like, to your point, I have found myself playing that game and I'll just like walk over to the window in the ship and I'll be like looking out into space. It's like, what reality am I in? I'm standing here looking at a television screen, playing a character in a video game in space, and I'm looking out the window of a spaceship at like the planet that Sevastopol is about to fall into, right, or something, because it's just so beautiful and like so captivating. Like, you're just like, I don't know, I guess like even games that come out nowadays, like, just don't, the level of detail, the attention to detail in this game is unbelievable. Or like when you're going throughout the ship, or you're like under the floor and you like pop up and it's like a little, like you're in like a little bar, or like a little snack restaurant that like the people that lived on Sevastopol would frequent, right, on like a day-to-day basis while they're working. And it's just like dead, but there's like half drunken bottles of booze, or there's like there's just like all this stuff, or there's like a little boom box that you can like turn on and you're like, oh, this is what they're listening to, sort of a thing. But you don't want to do that because the alien could hear you and then come kill you. So like, you're just like, you turn it on for a second, then you're like, oh, I better turn that off. But that's what's so cool about it, is there is like this level of like free roam. I don't know what you want to call that, but like, you can kind of do whatever you want if you want, and just explore the ship if you want. And some games are so just directionally, like you have in a campaign, are constantly being pushed forward into the storyline that way. Whereas like Alien Isolation, it's so cool that you can do that. But at a price sometimes, because like, and I'm sure we're going to bring this up too, but like another aspect outside of the alien is just like the element of the working Joes that are brought into it, which brings in like the entirety of the Ash character in Alien, right? And just like not really trusting these things that are on the ship to to help you until like you find out like how much more malevolent they have become. And just another terrifying moment in this game that I feel like is so intimate is if you get caught up by a working Joe who's just not working in it's a safe programming, chokes you out like you were, you know, Ripley in Alien. And for like us true fans of the franchise, that moment is, I hate to say it, but it's satisfying in some way, because you're like, oh my God, like I've just been given the gift of feeling what Ripley went through in Alien just a little bit more than I did when I watched the movie. And like, I think that's actually what I love about Alien Isolation and why, Patrick, to your point, it's just like on constant. We're always like playing, we're always in some chapter of this game, but it's just like it forever. I don't think it'll ever lose that thing. It's always giving us just a little bit more than of an experience, of a feeling of like something where you really truly feel like you're there. And that's like just like such a cool thing. So yeah, I had to nerd out on that a little bit.
I have a question for everyone as we're talking in this first episode. What did you guys think of the story when you heard it? And how much did you know that it was about, that it circled Amanda Ripley and her quest for her mother? How did that hit you? I'm curious, because there's a lot to be said about Amanda and also not a lot to be said about Amanda. And did that excite you when you heard about it?
Dark Horse had already done a comic series many years earlier that had an alien crash land on Earth, and the family or the people that run into it are the Ripleys. And so it's Ripleys versus aliens in 1950s or something. And then I believe that the first of the Titan Alien books had come out, Out of the Shadows, which has Ripley unnecessarily inserted into this very interesting situation. And then we also had, you know, Prometheus had come out, no Ripley in that, thankfully, but I swear that Ridley Scott was already talking about wanting to put a Ripley into the sequel. So it was in the zeitgeist. There's just this, you know, so this was one more thing that they felt like they couldn't move forward without having some connection to Ripley in it. And I was very much against it. Added to the fact that we know her eventual end. We know that Amanda dies an old woman of cancer. So going into this game, you know the character isn't really at risk. Those are some of my thoughts. That was, I feel like at that time we were getting a lot of right now we're getting, you know, the nieces and nephews and daughters and whatevers of characters in stories. But right then it was like we have to have a Ripley for the story to go forward.
I was personally fine with it. You know, and it's interesting because, you know, since then I've recorded 300 podcast episodes talking about these movies, so I've had a lot more time to process whether or not things have been retread too much since then. But I think at the time it felt great to me, mostly because when you play Isolation, you realize pretty quickly that Amanda is not just a carbon copy of her mother. She actually is a distinct character with her own distinct motivations. But more than that, because there's this beautiful wealth of secondary characters in Isolation that almost never get talked about. And what starting right from the very beginning, like you start interacting with people that are unforgettable and really interesting, you know, who show you different sides of what life would be like in 2137. So yeah, it didn't really bother me very much. It's also interesting, you know, I think we're going to have at least one episode about this, but there are subplots going on in Isolation that are also interesting because they're similar to what happens in Alien, but slightly different. One of the most interesting and morally complex ones, I think, is how the aliens get on board the ship in the first place. So, and again, whatever, we're spoiling Isolation. I'm sorry, people. You've had 10 years to play this game. Just fucking play Isolation. It's so worth it that, like, I'm not apologizing for this. Play the game. Stop listening to the podcast. Whatever. So you meet partway through the game, this character named Marlo, who, by the way, you also meet at the same time as you hear William Hope's voice, because William Hope is playing Colonel Marshall Waits in this movie, which is also wonderful. And I'm going to, you know, table what I was just saying for one moment, just to call something else out, which is how beautiful a love letter this is. And again, love letter is a term that gets brought up so much with this game, but a really concrete example of that is how much of the people who were involved in other Alien films came back for this. So of course, William Hope, you talk to William Hope like a shitload in this game, and he is a wonderful asshole in this game, and it's great. But also, of course, we had the Crew Expendable DLC come out, which, you know, reconvened many original cast members from Alien. It's just the whole thing was so rife with the sense of respect and love for the source material that people came back and did it. So it was just this continually gratifying experience. Going back to what I was saying about Marlo. So, you know, Marlo's team is investigating the remains of the Nostromo as salvage. As a result of that, they're able to backtrack where the Nostromo had been to LV-426. So there's this beautiful moment where Marlo is recounting what happens, and you get to go into the derelict as Marlo. And it is like the most haunting, beautiful. It is my favorite video game moment of all time. To this day, I get chills every single time I play that. You're getting lost on the surface of the planetoid. You're getting buffeted by wind. You can't tell what direction you're facing. And then you just see it there in the distance, just looming out of the mist. And it's like a truly amazing moment. And anyway, he recovers this thing. His wife gets face hugged. She's brought on board for treatment to the Sevastopol. And that's kind of where everything happens. So it stems from that moment. So there's a lot of stories like that going on that are really interesting and really kind of frightening. And I think that's part of why Amanda's story doesn't feel like it's just a retread. It's because it's a gateway for us to hear other stories of other people. You know, one of the other wonderful surprises with Isolation is how many humans are still on the ship. I feel like when you first hear about this game, you know, you kind of assume that it's just Amanda Ripley, like her mother, alone, you know, at the end of Alien, facing off these, you know, this creature. And then you get this beautiful surprise, which is not only is she not alone, there are other people there. There's also other creatures there too. And that is another thing that just makes this game continually fun to revisit. One other thing I want to point out, going back to something Perry had talked about, is I think another reason why we come back to this game so much is that it is somewhat nonlinear, like you were saying, Perry. That's something that's so interesting. You can play Alien Isolation kind of straightforward if you want to. I think many of us do our first time through because we're so fucking paranoid that one of the terminals we're logging into is going to wake the alien up. So we are just, you know, kind of going as quickly and quietly and as we can, crouching literally the entire time, trying to make it through the game. And then what happens is after you're able to kind of go back to the beginning again, you start checking more of those security logs. You start finding opportunities to play back some of the audio logs that are left on the ship without being too scared to listen to them. And you start hearing other stories and other tales, and you start piecing them together gradually so that by the time you go through it a third time, you kind of know where those audio logs are, and you know that there's probably other things you missed nearby. And you go and you get these whole subplots together of what happened as Sevastopol was falling apart, of what happened with the decaying orbit that it's been trapped in, of where people went, of why that food court is empty. You start learning all these amazing things. And then by the time you play it for a fifth or sixth time, like, you have an encyclopedic knowledge of what is happening in this game. And I think that's part of what's so great about it, is it gives you a chance to not only master your fear, because it really does, in a very genuine way, beating Isolation is triumphing over fear in a lot of ways for a lot of us who get scared by it. But it also gives us a chance to conquer it. Like, we get to actually, like, be brave enough to play this game and brave enough to laze in this game, to just relax in this game, to just experience it. So that way, when you come to the end, when the station is in the decaying orbit going into the planet, it is this like very emotionally cathartic moment. And then of course it ends with Amanda floating in space. And it's just beautiful, beautiful way for the story to end. That feels very different from Ellen Ridley's story and very, very, in my opinion, important. It feels like an important narrative for Alien to have.
Patrick, you mentioned how they were able to get so many of the cast members from Alien to come back and record more dialogue for what is essentially an add-on scene, the DLC. And I love it for that. I love hearing their voices, but it's the one part of the game that I never play. I don't play the Nostromo levels, because as gorgeous as the attention to detail is in the primary game, they mess so many things up on Nostromo. And it's just little things. It's just, you know, it's the wrong spacesuits in the cabinets. It's a lot of clutter for no good reason. And then there's weird little things where some of the uniforms don't have patches in the right place. And I will never understand. They have had such, they had access to such incredible resources to make this game. And they made these weird errors, which leads me to why I was anti Alien Isolation to begin with. And I'm sure I've told this story over the years at some point, but one of the first things they showed was the crew of the Nostromo sitting around the table rendered in CG for this game. And all I could see were all of the costuming errors. And so my assumption was, fuck these guys. They haven't even, like, how do you take a photograph of someone, recreate their likeness, and then arbitrarily get the patches wrong? That just doesn't make sense to me. It will never make sense to me why that happened. And so I wrote this game off. I'm sure if I go back on the Aliens Legacy website, I will find my ridiculous rants about how awful this game was. And I take it all back because it doesn't actually matter. I don't know why, if you play the DLC, you find Brett's corpse like one floor up, just slumped against the wall. I think they just wanted to put him in the game. I don't know. There he is. But I leave that for other people. You guys want to walk around the Nostromo, you go for it. That's great. But I'm in for the actual game and that expansion, that beautiful, you can see the Nostromo, the ingredients of the Nostromo writ large. So now instead of a cramped corridor, you have a longer corridor, or you have these beautiful arched windows looking out into space and this lounge seating, you know, and you can start imagining, okay, I'm going to go back to the costumes for just a second, because this is important. In Alien, they're wearing mostly white or the seafoam green uniforms, and they've got this patch that has a rainbow on it. These are happy, hopeful corporate symbols, right? And it would have been so easy to dress everyone in black, white, red, gray, you know, have the symbol have like a growling face on it because this is an evil planet or whatever. And they don't do that. And Alien Isolation honors that by giving us really bland, believable locations that are exquisitely designed. I'm not saying they're bad, but like, this is seating for people who are waiting to have a meeting with Siegson or waiting to have a meeting with Weyland-Yutani. And they can have a drink. They can go to the bar over here. They can look at this model of the space station that they're on that's suspended from the ceiling above them. It's very believably mundane. If the alien weren't here, these people would be living very boring lives, going about their daily existence, drinking their beer, having their snacks, whatever. And that's what I want, because it's that normality that is then made creepy and awful when the alien is introduced. And so now you're hiding behind these stupid little benches and this bar and all these things. So I just wanted to say that because I think it's so wonderful that they were able to create more of the alien universe while keeping to that idea that this was just a normal ship. They were just doing a dumb job, and the alien is what makes the whole place feel perverted, honestly. There's a corruption that the alien brings, both just by its presence and then by, you know, the hive material. When it starts making it its own, it makes it alien as well. So just some thoughts.
And I guess as we talk about it, and maybe if this seems too early because this is episode one, I'm just curious if anything feels, or if anything felt repetitious to you guys when you started playing this, or did it all feel fresh? I mean, not repetitious, like, okay, the surroundings are familiar, not familiar, but like, okay, yeah, we've done this before. This was, you know, and I get that there's going to be some fundamental similarities, like point A to point B, there's an alien after you, blah, 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 blah. But I mean something more granular than that at any point.
I mean, I want to say no, but I felt like playing this game and the several other times I've played it, that it still stays fresh. I mean, Patrick, to your point, you're kind of like building upon that encyclopedia of the story of the ship. Like, I think the reasons we go back to play it again aren't the reason why we played it the first time. You know what I mean? Like, we're going back again to investigate further, add upon whatever it is, or that chapter that you wanted to explore that you didn't get a chance to explore, or something else, or you didn't get a terminal to read because maybe the alien or there were working Joes around and you were just like, oh, fuck it, I need to get out of here. But you're like, oh, next time I want to try to, you know, spend a little bit more time there if I can. And I'll say, even like when you get to the Apollo, right, or Mother in the center of the ship, and like that moment too, Patrick, like I also love the derelict moment. I would say similarly, I get chills, or like that same feeling when you get to go into that Apollo device and you're like talking to it, and it's like you feel like you're Ripley, like just talking to the, like trying to get answers, right? Like what's going on here? You've like journeyed this way, like have lost your life like so many times, like you just had to like battle through like the meanest working Joes ever to like get to this spot. That's, I almost said scene again, that part of the game specifically is for me always fresh, just like doesn't get old.
Well, Alien Isolation does something that only Aliens of all the movies does, which is to take the main character and place them into an event that has already begun. All the other Alien films feel the need to show you the whole life cycle. And by Resurrection, it was kind of slowing the whole plot down, honestly. But so with this, Amanda arrives on the station not knowing about the alien, and the alien has already completely taken over certain sections of the station. And so she has the opportunity to interact with different levels of the life cycle out of order. You know, she sees the alien before she sees a facehugger, for example. And then, of course, spoilers, the game completely sold it like there was only going to be one alien. And then when it's revealed that, nope, there's a whole bunch of them, it's wonderful. That's the best possible surprise that they could have thrown into it. And so in those ways, I think it avoids being repetitious or feeling like we're completely retreading things. And there are moments. I mean, you know, when Patrick talks about this, this crew going and finding the derelict, they're wearing the exact same style of spacesuit as in Alien. They find the same exact derelict. They go into the exact place, but it's done with such reverence, and you're interacting, you're climbing, you're, you know, in my case, I got lost completely before you get to the ship. My kids had to be like, oh, come on, Dad, go over here. There it is. But so that's that fine line. Sometimes when you could argue it's just repeating something you've already seen, the difference, the novelty is that you're the one doing it. You're interacting. So yes, we've seen alien hives before, but you've never had to creep through a hive avoiding facehuggers and aliens, and not as stock video game elements. There isn't ever that sense. I can't explain enough, especially because I'm not a video game guy, but you don't have bosses. You don't have the next thing that you have to defeat to get to, you know, the bigger boss. This game just doesn't do that. And so that is fresh.
Yeah, 100% fresh. And just echoing some of the things that Xander is saying in the chat, as well as things that you're both saying, you know, Xander's pointing out, nothing within the game feels like a retread of the movies, like, oh, this is the hive section or this is the big gun section. Everything felt fresh while being in similar environments. I think that's a really good way to put it. I think at the end of the day, one of the things that I love most about this game is that it basically gives me the actual feeling of being in the events of Alien in a really legitimate way. Like that is something that we can't overstate enough. When you're playing Isolation, I don't even mean the Crew Expendable DLC, just when you're in the med bay in Isolation, you know, creeping for your life under a bunch of tables that are overturned, like that is what Alien feels like to me. And the fact that we have the ability to live in that space for 12 to 20 hours, however long it takes to complete the campaign, it is really kind of incredible. So even if it had been a literal retread of Alien, even if we were just playing the plot of Alien, like that's, I would be very happy doing that too, when it's done with this kind of reverence and this kind of gravity, because it never feels boring. It never feels like rote. It never feels colored by numbers. It always feels real. Like that's what's so amazing about it. And so then, like Perry's pointing out, the Apollo core mission, I love that too. When you get to things like that that aren't in Alien, that are very different from Alien, it's so gratifying. Another section I love is the propulsion core, when there's fucking lightning going off and you're dodging Joes coming down at every angle and you have like no ammunition left to do anything about them, and you have to trigger all of these sequences and there's nowhere to go, and you back into an elevator and there's another Joe coming out of the elevator. It's just this incredible sense of tension and beauty happening at the same time. And meanwhile, you know, you're reminded, because you have these tiny glimpses through windows, that you are like really in space. So it's not like this propulsion core is, you know, in some sort of like military base on Earth or something. Like, you are floating in a decaying orbit into a dying planet. Like, this is, it is so beautifully dreadful. So it never feels anything like rote or boring to me. And it always feels completely relevant. You know, I have to say, for all of the, and I do agree that there are some weird inaccuracies a little bit with the Crew Expendable DLC, because, and you know, we know that because we know the Nostromo so well. Micah has seen me do this. You know, if you play that DLC, you know that nothing happens until you go down the ladder. So you can basically walk around as much as you want. I will sometimes just fire that fucking DLC up and just walk around the Nostromo for a while and just hang out in the bridge, go walk into the mother room. Like, to me, it's so amazing that I have something that just lets me do that, that just lets me just live in Alien for a while and like walk around myself and look at shit and like duck under tables and see what's under there, even though it might not be 100% accurate to the film. That's incredible. And I get that same sense in Isolation. You know, there are moments in Isolation where you get something like a reprieve. Like, you know, the alien has definitely retreated. There are moments where, you know, traps have been set and the alien clearly skitters off, and you know you have like some breathing room for a while. And in those moments, it's like being in a cathedral. It's like you look around and you have time to like not crouch, for one thing, and to stand up again, and to just like look at the walls and look at the paneling and look at the amazing greebling everywhere, and to think like, my God, so much thought went into this game. So that's why it never feels boring to me. It feels like every time I play it, I feel so lucky. I feel so fortunate that we have this thing. And I think that's echoed in I mean, literally every person I talk to about this game feels the same way about it. We feel like, how did this happen? Like, that's something that I also hope we can learn more about somewhat on this series. As many of you may remember, last year, or maybe the year before, I think it was last year, we had the author of a book that is now finished and it's getting ready to ship, called Perfect Organism, you know, well titled, come on and talk about this book that they're writing about the game and the history of the game and the history of Gearbox Studios. The Creative Assembly. That's a different developer. I can't wait to read that to get some more inside information, but I also hope we can have them back on to talk somewhat about how this came together, because what's so fascinating with Isolation is that you have this incredible achievement that took so much love and so much care, and it just stands alone, you know, like this little star floating in space, because we never got that sequel that everybody has asked for every week since it came out. You know, we got something like a sequel in the mobile game, which we're going to talk about, but you know, Blackout was fun for what it was, Five Nights at Freddy's with Alien. But we never got the return. And then we have, of course, the IGN series that came out around the same time, which was so bad. And such an atrocity, you know, especially considering what they had to work off of. It's like nothing else has ever come close to it. Nothing else has ever come close to it. That's a categorical statement that I am comfortable standing by. And I mean that in terms of film. I mean, the high watermark that I'm going to hold, for example, the Hawley series up to is Alien Isolation, honestly, to me, because you're never going to make Alien again. Like, you can't. That was a perfect one-off thing that was a complete miracle that happened, right? And anybody who tries to just make Alien again is going to come up short, because the magic of Alien is its uniqueness, is the fact that it came out of nowhere and it was so brilliant. But Isolation did it in a way that felt fresh and felt relevant and felt new. And that's what I think Holly and you know, to the same degree, I think Fede Alvarez have to stand up to. They have to give us, because you know what? If a video game company that's known for strategic warfare games can give us something that shows that much love and that much attention to detail and that much thought, that much passion in a video game that came out 10 fucking years ago that we're still playing, if they can do it, Hollywood can do it too. If they can do it, Noah Hawley, with a massive budget and, you know, hours of television scripts, can do the same thing. If they can do it, Fede Alvarez can do it too. And I got to say, from what we have heard in meanderings and mumblings about Fede Alvarez, I think he is trying to do that. We, of course, as Christian knows well, because he pointed it out, you know, in the screenshot that Fede shared, not screenshot, and the photo that Fede shared for Alien Day last year, of course, there's a Sevastopol save terminal in it, which is a very clear indicator of inspiration. So to me, that's the legitimacy of Alien Isolation coming out. The fact that you have a Hollywood film coming out financed by Disney that has an Alien Isolation save terminal in it 9 years after the game came out, that is lasting relevance. That is a fucking achievement. And that's what I'm holding these films up to, honestly.
That's a good place to end this episode.
Amen, Patrick. Amen.
Absolutely.
Wow.
I will just plug our short film that's coming out on Alien Day called Alien Absolution. Absolutely has Alien Isolation references in it. But, you know, that's par for the course because we love this game. I agree with what you're saying, Patrick, to know that, you know, there's a hierarchy when it comes to the expanded universe, and you don't usually go back upstream, right? I'm going to mix my metaphors here. For something from a video game to affect Hollywood is unheard of. We see it a little bit in Disney. The Disney Plus Star Wars shows have sometimes taken a character from a novel or a comic book and brought them into live action. But that's a very different species there. I'm going to keep mixing these things up. Star Wars is very different. It's much more inclusive. It's much more arms wide open. Alien has been a film series that just happens to have novels, comics, and video games as ancillary media. So to have something 100% stand up and say, all right, you know, this is going to go back upstream. This is climbing the mountain. Boy, I'm going to keep throwing words together. I love it. What a great place to end.
Yeah, agreed, you guys. I mean, last thing I'll say, I just love it for what it is. We keep playing it because each and every time that we do, we build upon that encyclopedia, as Patrick talked about, and it just feels and gives us something more and more real to Alien. And I would say, like, the first time seeing Alien, even if it makes you feel like a kid again when you first saw that, playing this game gives you just like 5% of that, like this time, or like you play it again and you get like a 10% like little boost of like, oh my god, like I feel like I'm really there, or I like feel like you just like identify with things that you identified when you rewatch Alien and things like that, but you get to feel it in a different sense because it's a video game. And that's what I do really truly love about video games like this. And it is such like a it's like a pinnacle of gaming and should be, you know, that's that shining star that games and Hollywood should look to not replicate, but just like strive for, like what that game has done. And yeah, I love it as well. And so just like, thank you everyone for like giving us this platform, right, to like talk about this 10 years later again, as much as we have already. And I know we're going to talk about more stuff. Like, was there possibly a queen on Sevastopol? I'd love to go down that rabbit hole, but yeah, I just love it. And thanks, you guys. Thank you. I love it. I love you.
Just two quick things as we wrap. Just two notes for listeners. First off, if you can't play this game, that's fine. I understand. No, not everybody has the time and the skill set to do that, or the console to do it, or the platform. But what you really should do, you owe it to yourself to watch a YouTube playthrough or a YouTube, you know, cutscene compilation, go on YouTube. There's millions of these on there. So you can watch, some of them are an hour long, some of them are 20 hours long. You can watch the story of Isolation Unfold. Really, please do that for yourself, but also for this series that we're doing, so that you can experience it with us as we're talking about it, because we're going to be engaging a lot this year on this. My second note, just as we wrap, is we have a lot going on this year. We have Alien Day coming up. We have a film releasing. We have our film releasing. We have a lot going on throughout the year. So we're going to be peppering this coverage, you know, from now through the end of the year. So, you know, if we take a little break from it, it's coming back. Don't worry about it. But before you listen to the next episode, if you have not played or watched playthroughs of it, please make sure you do so.
Our last announcement as we wrap is, it looks like Perfect Organism is going to be at San Diego Comic-Con 2024. This has been a long time in the works. Lots of biting of nails and twisting of necks. I'm kidding. But yeah, and that is July 25th through 28th. We're going to be there as press. And we are planning a whole bunch of things, which might include a live show or a live broadcast from SDCC. And of course, we're there because Alien Romulus will be releasing less than a month later. So it's going to be an exciting year for us. So stay tuned for more information.
And we're able to be there thanks to our patrons. So thank you, patrons.
Indeed.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, you guys.
To find out more information about Perfect Organism, the Alien Saga podcast, please go to www.perfectorganism.com. If you would like to support the show, please go to www.perfectorganism.com/support. Thank you.